Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, so you've brought us a really interesting set of materials this time, all centered around international specialization.
Yeah, it's a fascinating area. Lots of articles, some research papers, notes.
Right, and I think our goal here for this deep dive is really to sift through all that complexity, you know?
Yeah.
Get to the core of what international specialization actually is, how it functions, the good stuff, the potential problems.
Exactly. Kind of a clear, useful takeaway. Mm-hmm. It's about giving everyone listening a solid handle on the essentials.
Okay. So when we say specialization, we're talking about focusing, right? Like on a specific job or product.
We are. And it happens at different levels. You know, individual specializing, that's often called the division of labor. Think assembly lines.
Ah, okay. Like one person doing just one part of building a car over and over.
Precisely. And then you scale that up. Firms specialize in certain products, and whole nations specialize in particular industries or goods and services. Mm. It's that same core idea.
Got it. And you mentioned there are some key economic ideas behind why countries do this.
Yes, absolutely. Two big ones underpin a lot of this. Absolute advantage and probably the more critical one, comparative advantage. These really explain why trade happens, even when, you know, one country might seem better producing everything.
Okay, intriguing. Let's park that for a second, though. Before we get into the why, let's talk about the what. What are the upsides? Why specialize in the first place for, say, the average person listening, the consumer?
Well, for consumers, one of the most obvious things is just more choice, greater variety.
Right. Stuff from all over the world.
Exactly. And often that focus can mean higher quality, too. Think Swiss watches or,
yeah,
you know, Italian leather. Plus, and this is a big one, efficiency gains can lead to lower prices. Competition helps there too.
Okay, so variety, quality, maybe better prices. Makes sense. What about the businesses, the firms doing the specializing?
For them, a major advantage is achieving economies of scale.
Okay, what does that mean exactly?
It basically means the cost per item goes down as you produce more. If you set up a huge factory just for one thing, you get really efficient. Your fixed costs get spread out.
Ah, I see. Like that car factory example again. Making 1 million cars versus 1,000.
Precisely. They also get access to much bigger markets, global markets, not just local ones. And there's often a flow of technology and ideas when you're interacting internationally. Innovation can spark from that.
So lower costs, more customers, potential for learning new things.
Gotcha. And zooming out even further, the whole economy, the world even.
At that bigger level, it leads to a more efficient allocation of resources globally. Countries use their land, labor, capital for what they're relatively best at.
Which should mean more stuff gets produced overall.
Yes, higher overall output. That can mean more jobs globally, though maybe different kinds of jobs. And countries that specialize effectively can really improve their sort of global economic standing. Okay, sounds pretty positive, but there's always a but, isn't there? Let's flip the coin. What are the potential downsides or risks, starting again with the consumer?
Yeah, there are definitely risks. For consumers, one worry is monopolies or oligopolies. If only a couple of giant global firms make something,
it could jack up prices, limit choices.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
Then there are concerns about, well, quality control or safety standards.
Hmm.
Are goods made elsewhere under the same regulations as here is a valid question.
Mm-hmm.
And supply chains. We've all learned how vulnerable those can be, right? Disruptions, whether it's pandemics or, you know, ships getting stuck.
Definitely felt that one recently. Okay, and for the companies themselves, the ones doing the specializing.
Oh, big risk there too. You can become over-reliant on just one or two products or markets. What if demand suddenly collapses? Or a new technology makes your specialized thing obsolete?
Ouch, yeah.
You're also much more exposed to external shocks. Think political instability in a key market, or sudden tariffs being imposed, or even conflicts disrupting trade routes. It makes you vulnerable.
Okay, so specialization can be a double-edged sword for businesses. What about the broader risks for a country's economy?
Well, a major one is the loss of self-sufficiency. If you depend heavily on imports for essentials, food, energy, medicine, crisis, like a war or pandemic, can leave you in a really tight spot.
Yeah, that's a serious concern.
And then there's structural unemployment. As industries shift because of specialization and trade, some skills become less needed. People lose jobs and might need significant retraining, which isn't always easy or quick.
Right. So some people definitely get left behind in those shifts.
It can happen, yes. And finally, there's the issue of trade imbalances. If a country consistently imports way more than it exports, that can lead to problems like currency depreciation or growing national debt.
Okay, so it's definitely not all smooth sailing. It's a balancing act. Now let's get back to those economic engines you mentioned. Absolute and comparative advantage. Can you break down absolute advantage first?
Sure. Absolute advantage is pretty straightforward, really. It just means being able to produce more of something than another country using the same amount of resources, same labor, same time, whatever.
Okay, like in that example from the notes. Country A and Country B, cars and trucks.
Exactly. So let's say with the same resources, Country A makes 30 million cars, or our 6 million trucks. Country B, with those same resources, can make 35 million cars, or 21 million trucks.
Okay, so in that case, Country B makes more cars and more trucks. They have an absolute advantage in both.
Correct. They're just, well, more productive across the board in this specific scenario.
So why on earth would Country B ever trade with Country A if they're better at making everything?
Ah, and that is precisely where comparative advantage comes in. It's the more subtle but really powerful concept.
Okay, I'm ready. Explain comparative advantage.
Comparative advantage isn't about who's best overall. It's about who can produce something at a lower opportunity cost.
Opportunity cost, that's what you give up to do something else, right?
Exactly. What do you have to sacrifice? So, even if Country B has an absolute advantage in both cars and trucks, they'll still benefit from trading if they specialize where their relative advantage is greatest, or, put another way, where their opportunity cost is lowest.
Okay, let's use the numbers again. Country A, 30-meter cars or 6-meter trucks. Country B, 35-meter cars or 21-meter trucks. What's the opportunity cost?
Right, let's look at trucks first. For Country A to make one truck, they have to give up the resources that could have made 5 cars.
Right.
30 divided by 6 is 5.
Okay. One truck costs 5 cars for Country A. Got it.
Now, Country B, to make one truck, they give up resources that could make, well, 35 million cars divided by 21 million trucks. That's about 1.67 cars.
Ah, so even though B is better at making both, making a truck only costs them 1.67 cars while it costs Country A 5 cars.
Precisely. So Country B has a lower opportunity cost for trucks. They have the comparative advantage in trucks.
Okay, I see it now. What about cars?
Let's flip it. For Country A, making one car costs them 1/15 of a truck, 6-meter trucks, 30-meter cars. For Country B, making one car costs them, well, 1 divided by that, 1.67. Roughly 0.6 of a truck, 21-meter trucks, 35-meter cars.
So Country A gives up less of a truck, 0.2, to make a car compared to Country B, 0.6. So A has the comparative advantage in cars.
You've got it. That's the core idea. Country A is relatively better at cars, lower opportunity cost, and Country B is relatively better at trucks.
So the big takeaway is, if Country A just makes cars and Country B just makes trucks and they trade,
then both countries can end up consuming more cars and more trucks than they could if they tried to make everything themselves. Total world production increases.
Wow, that's actually kind of mind-blowing. It's not about being the absolute best, but about specializing where you have that relative edge.
It's a fundamental insight of economics.
Okay, but all this trading relies on, well, being able to trade. Right, which brings us to free trade. How does that fit in?
Free trade is essentially the facilitator. It's the movement of goods and services across borders without restrictions like tariffs or quotas getting in the way. It's what allows that specialization based on comparative advantage to actually work on a global scale.
So it's like the oil in the machine.
You could say that. Mm. It enables that efficient global resource allocation we talked about. It lets countries really lean into their strengths.
And then the benefits are?
Well, we've touched on them. Increased world output, potentially more jobs overall, higher living standards through access to more and maybe cheaper, better goods. It also spurs competition, which pushes firms to innovate.
Right. Keeps everyone on their toes.
Yeah. And it lets countries really leverage what economists call their factor endowments. Mm. You know, their specific mix of resources, skilled labor, capital, climate, whatever, gives them an edge.
Okay. So free trade unlocks the benefits of specialization. But as your notes also made clear, it's not always simple. There are challenges that come with all this global interdependence.
Oh, absolutely. It's not a perfect system by any means. That economic dependency we mentioned is a big one. Becoming too reliant on others, especially for critical goods, is risky.
And things like tariffs, trade wars.
Exactly. Trade barriers directly counteract the benefits of free trade and specialization. They throw sand in the gears. Then you have environmental concerns, the impact of mass production, shipping things thousands of miles.
Yeah, the carbon footprint of global trade.
Right. Plus, ethical concerns about labor standards or resource exploitation in countries with weaker regulations. And of course, just plain old political tensions between nations can massively disrupt trade flows.
So it's definitely a complex web. It sounds like countries need to be pretty strategic about it all.
They do. It's about trying to get the benefits while managing the risks, finding that balance between specialization and resilience, between openness and strategic security.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up for everyone listening. We've seen that international specialization really driven by this idea of comparative advantage, focusing on what you do relatively best and ideally helped along by free trade.
More don't try to get the potential to make the global economy more efficient, give us more choices, maybe raise living standards.
But it comes with real challenges, risks of dependency, supply chain issues, potential job losses in some sectors, environmental costs, political friction. It's not a simple win-win.
Definitely not. It requires careful thought and management.
Which leads us, I guess, to a final thought for our listeners, drawing on everything we've pulled from your materials. Where do you listening see these ideas of specialization playing out? Maybe in your own job or the companies you interact with or just the economy around you?
Yeah, and thinking about that, what are the trade-offs you notice? What are the benefits you see? But also, what are the potential downsides or dependencies that come with that specialization?
That's a great question to chew on. Makes you look at things a bit differently. This has been really enlightening unpacking all of this.
It's a huge topic, definitely. We've
Yeah.
really just scratched the surface today.
For sure. But hopefully, this deep dive gives everyone a much clearer framework for understanding this key piece of the global economic puzzle.
Hopefully so. There's always more to learn.